Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Let me tell you the story of a Boston-based NRI, Keshav. Keshav's weekend was going well until he received an email from the Indian IT department with a taxed amount of about 25 lakh. Keshav was confused because he moved out of India over 17 years back and does not have any income sources in the country. Keshav told me that at first he thought it was a phishing scam, but when he looked closely, he figured that it was for a property that he had sold in 2019. Even then, it did not make sense to Keshav as the buyer of the property had deducted TDS, as is the rule. After Keshav hired a chartered accountant to look into the notice, he realized that the buyer had deducted 1% TDS, which is the rate applicable to resident Indians who sell a property, in place of 20% TDS that is applicable to NRI. This is where Keshav went wrong. And that's not all. Keshav did not file income tax return to report the sale of property in India because he thought that if the TDS is paid, then there's no need for him to file the tax. Another mistake. Because income tax laws in India mandate disclosing sale of assets by NRIs, even if the applicable taxes have been paid through TDS. Now, Keshav's is not a standalone case. The ID department has been sending out a flurry of tax notices to NRIs who have sold a property in India in the past but not paid capital gains tax on it or have failed to file ITR to report the sale. And you would be surprised to know that a lot of these notices are for property sales dating back to even 2014, 15 and so on. In today's episode, I will tell you why this is happening and the mistakes that NRI should avoid, lest they fall on the taxman's radar. Hi, I'm Shipra from Mint's personal finance team, and welcome back to Why Not Mint Money.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
The two main issues at hand are, one, NRIs sell property but fail to pay capital gains tax on it. Second, even if they pay tax or TDS is deducted by the buyer, they fail to report it in their income tax return by not filing the tax return at all. Most of the NRIs are facing this because they have not filed tax returns in India for several years and hence are not aware of either the tax laws nor the process of filing ITR. But ignorance of law cannot be excused. While it is not new on the IT department's part to issue notices to non-residents for non-payment of taxes or not filing tax returns, the number and frequency of notices being sent out have increased manyfold in the past year, and most of these notices are sent out in April after the end of the financial year. This is happening because the IT department is moving to digitization and making use of technology to pull out transactions from the past and scrutinizing such transactions. Several chartered accountants have informed me that they have received inquiries from several hundred NRIs in the recent past who have received tax notices on this front. One chartered accountant also informed me that his firm is currently handling over 120 cases related to this issue, all of which are in litigation. So let me start by telling you what are the consequences of not paying capital gains tax in India. Non-payment of tax on capital gains by an NRI attracts 1% monthly interest on the outstanding tax amount and a penalty equivalent to 100 to 300% of the tax. If the NRI fails to file the ITR, another 1% monthly interest is charged for it. So think of it, that the interest alone will add up to 24% annually And for cases that go back several years, this can exceed the total sale value of the property itself. In the case of Keshav, that I told you at the starting of today's podcast, the capital gains tax on the sale of property was only 8 lakh, but with the penalties and the double interest, it has added up to nearly 25 lakh in 5 years. What I also want to tell you is that in Keshav's case, the tax officer levied penalty equal to the outstanding tax. But not everyone might be as lucky as him. Tax officers can even levy 3x of the outstanding tax as just the penalty. So when an NRI fails to pay the capital gains, the first step that the IT department takes is that it sends out a tax notice demanding the outstanding tax. If the NRI fails to pay the tax within the stipulated window, the department passes an adverse order declaring the entire sales proceed, which is the entire sale value of the property, as capital gains or income from undisclosed sources. And many NRIs are seeing this play out. This is happening because tax officers try to communicate with taxpayers through multiple channels of email, phone number, or address to which the PAN is registered. Now, in the case of an NRI, most of these channels may not be functional anymore because they have moved out of India, then the Indian number might not be working anymore. The address that is registered against the PAN is, of course, an old address and they don't live in it anymore. So the communication gets missed and the tax officer passes the adverse order as they are time bound to close the case. Whenever the NRI finds out about the order demanding the payment of tax due to non-response caused by non-receipt of notice, the first thing they should immediately do is file an appeal with the Joint Commissioner of Income Tax or the Commissioner of Income, and along with condonation application explaining why they missed the notices. Now, take note that in this case, in most of the cases, the tax officer may not accept the excuse of non-functionality of email because, as per the law, the onus of updating the changed email ID or postal address with the tax department is on the NRI taxpayer. But irrespective of that, the application must be filed. This is important because when the entire sales proceeds is declared as undisclosed income, the NRI is required to pay tax on it as per the tax slab. In some cases, the highest tax rate of 33% could be slapped, along with the annual interest of 12 to 18% for all the years. So the recourse available for the NRI is to appeal, which is digital and does not require them to physically be present in India. So they can hire a professional to represent them and litigate on their behalf. What should also be noted here is that to be able to appeal, the NRI has to first deposit 20% of the raised tax demand with the IT department. If their appeal is honored, it is refunded or adjusted against the net payable tax. Now, there is a nuance to the situation of not paying capital gains tax on selling a property. This nuance is cash. It is not a hidden fact that in almost every property deal in India, some amount of the sale proceeds are paid as cash. But it could be a big problem for NRIs because they do not reside in India. So if you receive cash to the tune of 30, 40, 50 lakh, you know, you might feel happy thinking that you have escaped paying tax on that 50 lakh. But if you do not have relatives in India who you can pass on the cash to, how do you show that cash as white money? You can, of course, not pack it in your bag and take it with you abroad. So in most cases, NRIs end up depositing the cash in their bank account. And this is the biggest mistake that they make. A lot of the chartered accountants that I spoke to told me that some of the cases they are handling are exactly this, that the NRI did not pay capital gains tax on the cash component but deposited it later in the bank account, and now they are on the taxman's radar. This is because once you deposit the money in the bank, it becomes your on-record money. And since the cash is from unknown sources, you cannot tell the tax department that you have taken part of the payment as black money after selling your property. So in this case, the income that you have put in the bank account in which you were trying to save 20% tax, in fact, becomes taxable at the highest tax rate, which is 33%. And there is an added penalty as well, because this income has been declared as income from undisclosed sources. Why this happens is that, you know, when you deposit cash, say to the tune of 40 lakh, the government, the bank reports the transaction to the income tax department. And once you receive the notice, you have to explain the source of that income. And now since you're an NRI and you do not have any business in India, you cannot explain the source of the income. So it becomes undisclosed income from an undisclosed source. So that's one part of this problem. Now let's move to the second part, which also concerns the buyer. When an NRI sells a property, it is the buyer's responsibility to deduct 20% TDS on the total sale amount and deposit it with the IT department. Of course, as a next step, if the TDS is more than the outstanding tax, the NRI claims a refund later on. But the onus of deducting the TDS lies solely on the buyer, and failing to do so can get the buyer in a tax suit with the tax department. There are two parts to this problem. One is that the buyer fails to deduct the TDS at all, and second, they deduct the TDS but only 1% instead of 20% because they do not know that the seller is an NRI, as was the case with Keisha. So in such a case, what happens is that the tax department sends the buyer short deduction notice and raises demand of the differential or full value. Amount of the TDS was not paid at all. What this means is that the buyer basically had to pay the TDS. Of course, they don't have to pay the TDS out of their pocket, but it's more of a compliance hassle. They can either get the NRI to pay it or they pay it themselves and later claim it from the NRI, but it's an ordeal. And what the buyer should also take note is that penalties could be levied on them for not deducting TDS. And let me also tell you an extreme situation where the NRI seller doesn't pay up the due taxes for several years and don't have any assets or bank account in India that the tax department can use to recover the amount. In such a dire situation, the tax department can actually turn to the buyer because the liability will eventually fall on the buyer, which will be limited to the extent of the sale price of the house. This is the reason it is important that the buyer deducts applicable TDS at the time of buying the property. To sum up the episode, let me tell you about the third mistake that NRIs should avoid. And this is when they purchase a property in India. It is not mandatory for NRIs to file ITR in India if they purchase a property, but they should be careful about reporting investments if they are not declaring the same in the country of their residence. This applies to NRIs living in countries such as Dubai, where there is no tax filing. In that case, if you're not filing taxes in either the country that you're residing or in India where you're buying a property, there is no trail to prove where are the funds coming from. So by filing an ITR, you basically tell the IT department the source of the funds. If you don't do that, the tax department will most likely issue a notice demanding explanation for the source of the funds used to buy the asset. If you declare such investment in the tax return filed in the country that you reside in, then you do not have to file ITR in India because the tax return filed in other country will document the trail of the funds that you have used to make the investment. To avoid falling on the taxman's radar, NRIs should try to stay on the right side of the law and pay the capital gains taxes in the year when they sell a property or any other asset in India. That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you would like to know more about this topic or make a suggestion of a personal finance topic that you would like us to cover, I can be reached at Twitter under the username of Shipra Singh Saurath and on LinkedIn at Shipra Singh. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.